kids here. Somehow, parents, if you think your kids have to be up the back and they're small and little and whatever, but I think some of the others are old enough to understand and hear what I want to share today, because it does bring a relevance into some of the scriptures that we know and have learned. So I'll try and do it as quick as I can. That message around communion, wow, absolutely amazing. Do we recognize God? And there was a couple of other instances where people didn't recognize God, and one of the major ones was when they were on the boat in the storm and they saw a figure walking on the water and they thought it was a ghost. And it wasn't until they finally said, "Peter, it's the Lord." And he's like, "Well, if it's you, you call me to come out on the water." And I think sometimes if we're in the storms, that's the hardest time to recognize God. When things aren't going right, that's when we need to sharpen up our recognition senses, because honestly, they're the times when we have our focus on anything and everything but God, especially if turmoil and anxiety and stress is getting in the way. We've got to learn to recognize God. If we don't recognize him, it's hard to put trust and faith into someone you don't know or don't recognize. And you think about that big time. We have to know God. And this is why so much of the scripture, I believe, is keyed to getting us to know God. It is a mandatory part of our walk in God if we're going to walk by faith and trust. So we don't know him, we can't trust him. And many, many times people have said to me, "Oh, you never know what God's going to do." Well, you obviously don't know him. And some people have got a past mentality only. And one of those songs talked about, it's great what God has done, but he will do great things. Have you got a great thing story about God in the here and now, not in the, you know, sweet by and by, or back in the old days? So, you know, everyone's got stories of what God did. Oh, Bible stories. God parted the Red Sea. God did this. God did that. Well, God took away a melanoma out of my right eye and my vision was restored. Come on. That's today in Jesus' name. And it's hard sometimes. And I had to turn around and really fight to recognize God. And he took me to a video that encouraged my faith, and it was just bang, done deal. Thank you, Lord. Trust and faith came to the fore. And that's what we've got to learn to do in God. All right, Paul in Galatians 2:20. Now, a lot of people here should be able to recite this off by heart. It's a very well-known scripture, and if you've been around the church scene a while, yes. But if you're not, well, you know, you'll learn it. But Paul was talking about his own testimony, and he talked a lot about his own experiences and talked about when he was Saul, he was actually opposed to the church and went out to do it a lot of in harm and put Christians in jail till God got hold of him. And then he gets into this scripture here in Galatians 2:20 where he says, "I am crucified with Christ." Probably a statement a lot of Christians have no idea of. They don't experience it and they don't know it, and it's foreign to them. But we really need to come into that position of our lives saying, "Okay, God, everything I am and everything I could be, I'm just laying it down for you." Paul said, "I die daily." You know? And there's a lot of this on the overhead. I'm jumping around a little bit, but let me just get back into line with this. And so the experience and the testimony of most Christians needs to be the same, not foreign. And honestly, we're all guilty that we let ourselves sit on the throne of our lives and we don't turn around and give God the opportunity to be who he wants to be in all of our lives all of the time. We're not always crucified. Oh, we come to church and we say, "Oh, yeah, I'll lay my life down for you, Jesus." And we get out there on Monday morning and chaos happens. And, you know, we're in the storm. We don't even recognize where God is. We've got to learn to be like that 24/7. We've got to learn to maintain the status quo of our commitment to God and being crucified with Christ. Kids, I want you to understand, being dead to ourselves doesn't mean we die and we're done. It means we put our own heart and our own wants and our own desires aside so we can be like Jesus. You want to punch your sister up? You want to punch your brother up? Forget it. I love my sister and my brother because that's what God's want me to do. We have to remember that we need to be like Jesus all the time, not just when we're mad at each other. We forget about it, don't we? We've got to turn around and say, okay, God. And it's not easy to do because we always want to have the last say. We always want to have the last word. We always want to be in control of situations. And sometimes humility goes out the window. Grace goes out the window. The peace that we should have disappears. We've got to learn to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God and get to that position of recognizing Jesus at all times. But Paul says, nevertheless, or however, I still live on. My body, life, and experience are still fully functional, still fully happening. I'm in that place. But it's no longer me and my desires and my passions and my wants that lives. It's Christ living in and through me. Wow. Wow. That, and here's a guy who probably wrote this in jail. He'd been around the church scene. He'd started churches. He'd done so much. And then he was completely given, I mean, he was whipped with the 39 stripes, the same as Jesus was prior to the cross, three times. Can you picture that? And the Bible says of Jesus, when he got those stripes, he could tell all his bones, they stood and stared at him. Paul copped it three times. There were other horrendous things they did to Paul, but Paul survived it and he just glorified God. Wow, what a man. But he said, I'm crucified with Christ, yet I'm still living. It's no longer I and my desires that's on top. It's Christ living in me. Wow, that's pretty amazing. And then he goes on and he says, in this life, next slide, that I now live in my flesh, I do not live in any way for myself. There's no self, no self-gratification, no selfish motives. Wow. That's what we're all like, aren't we? We all get 10 out of 10 for this or a fail. I don't know that we can actually say that. I don't know how Paul said it. He was incredible. Nothing of himself. And just in case I get in the way, in 1 Corinthians 15:31 it says this, I take great pride in you, the church. I love you so much. I'm proud of you. And I could be well and truly, you know, blown up in my own thinking about that, but I die daily. Anything that would exalt me has to be crucified with Christ. Wow. What an amazing way this guy looked at things. And then he goes on and he says, in this life that I live in my flesh currently, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The word by can be translated because of, due to, or as a result of the faith of the Son of God. Next slide. There are some translations that confuse this. There are some songs that confuse this because some people even say it this way, I live by faith in the Son of God. And you can see what I've said there. It alters the dynamics of the whole meaning of the thing because it puts me, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's my faith doing the work. That's my faith in Him causing me to live for Him. Well, in a sense, that works. But the real thing that Paul was saying here had nothing to do with that. He said, I live by, because of, due to, and as a result of the faith of the Son of God. How does that outwork? What brought that about? How did the faith of the Son of God cause you and me to be who we are and for God to be able to live through us? What was the thing that did that? How did that happen? I'm just virtually taking this slide by slide because it's so precious. I want you to get it all. And so it's not us as the focal point. If you look, Jesus' life was destined. He knew from a very young age that he was the sacrificial Lamb of God. He knew that he was on this planet for a purpose, to pay for the sins of humanity. And he had to live with that. And he grew up and began his ministry. He did everything that he needed to do in his growth years and in his beginning of his ministry years. But he had to, as a man, flesh and blood and bones, the same as you and I, in every way, shape and form. Feelings and hurts, whatever could have come his way. But he was such an intense man. He didn't know sin. He never, ever succumbed to sin. That was the most amazing part about him. He was the spotless, pure Lamb of God. So there was no corruption in him whatsoever. He guarded himself against that completely. You say, oh, well, he went in the temple and turned the tables over. Well, the Bible says there is a righteous anger as well. The Bible says, get angry, but don't sin. Well, he turned them over. He says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. You've polluted the temple of God. Get out. And he cleansed the sanctuary. What does he do with his church today whenever we get a little tarnished? He cleanses the sanctuary. He's always there to cleanse us and wash us with his blood. That was a perfect example of his heart seeing his church perfect, right, bright and spotless in his sight. Incredible. He cleansed the physical temple. He's cleansing the spiritual temple. Oh, so good. So good. The example is just brilliant, the way he does those sorts of things and puts them there. But he had to, because he was a man like we are, in a human form, fully placed his trust and his faith in his Father. He withdrew himself so many times, the Bible says, he went to a quiet place to pray. He had to do that. Do we? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Sometimes it's constant, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes we've got a pattern in our lives. I've never been a pattern person of praying, but boy, I tell you what goes on in my life during the day, my head is always constantly chewing over, meditating on, and there's times where I just stop and talk to God about it. Greatest time I have with God's when I'm driving on a country trip in a car, because everything else is just shut down as far as my concentration's just where it has to be. But boy, oh boy, some of the best times I've ever had talking to God are in those places. You know, it's just amazing. Make the most of the opportunities we get to bring God into every situation. It's not just training, it's just sensitivity. Just sensitivity. He, as a man, dreaded what was ahead of him. He prayed in the garden, knowing what he had to face. And in Luke 22, we see these scriptures. He withdrew from the disciples that he took with him about a stone's throw, which isn't that far, knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if this is really your will, take this cup away from me. He was pretty stressed about it all. And I'll tell you how stressed he was. He says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And an angel appeared to him from heaven, encouraging him and strengthening him. And being in agony, this is the seriousness of the situation, he prayed even more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. This is pretty intense. But if you sweated to that extent where your sweat were drops of blood, there is a medical term for this, and I don't know if we've got any medical people here that know all that, but there is such a stress level in humanity that when people get to that point, they can actually sweat blood. And it's a known medical fact. So Jesus was at the very limits of his human capacity. There was nothing that he wasn't feeling at that time that didn't cause his framework to absolutely go to the limits, knowing what he had to face. And I guess if you and I knew we had to face what he had to face and he knew what was coming, he was well and truly versed in what their procedures were and what was going to happen and how he was going to be tormented, tortured, whipped, scourged, beaten, his beard pulled out by the roots. Can you imagine that, guys? You got a beard? You want me to get... Oh, no, it's not long enough to get older. I don't know that that would really be something we could stand. So the pressures that he was under caused him to sweat to that extent, sweating drops of blood. But he was there, committed to, and said, look, if there's some other way, if it can be passed from me, but not my will, not what I want, Father, your will. And he rose from prayer and came to his disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. You know, sometimes when God's at his greatest ebb of power and manifestation, we're asleep. And we don't recognize him in the situation. They knew he was there, but they had no idea what was coming, even though he'd spoken to them, even though he'd taken the Passover, even though he said there would be a time coming when he would lay his life down. No, yeah, it's not going to happen to you. You're the king that's going to set Israel free. They had a wrong concept, but there he was. He said, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Don't get blasé or lethargic in situations when you know there's an urgency about what God wants to do in your life. If you have a sense of that sort of thing, don't just set it aside and say, yeah, one day. It's now. The Holy Spirit's a now miracle working God. He knows what's best for us. Best thing we can do is wake up and get in tune. Absolutely. And that's what they missed out on there. And of course, when the situation did come, they all ran away. They were chicken. And I wonder if they'd been strengthened a little more, whether they could have stood with Jesus in the storm. I don't know. You know, we're still humans. But they didn't give themselves the opportunity. That was the biggest problem there. Why are you sleeping? Wake up, lest Satan tempt you. And of course, Satan did. And they ran, and there were issues out because of that. Matthew 28:6-39. He prayed the same thing. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Wow. Now, Paul's word, I live by the faith of the Son of God, had its roots in what Jesus entrusted of himself to his Father. He knew his Father intimately. He knew his Father's word was true. He knew his Father's promises were true. As a human, he was still looking away from a possibility or looking to another possibility. He didn't want to go through what he was destined for if he could get away with it. There's that natural humanity about us that's self-preserving. He was like us. Bible says he was tempted in every point like us, but he didn't give in to it. Didn't capitulate. He pressed on and went through whatever was in front of him. Wow. And so the words that Paul spoke in Galatians 2:20, the life I now live has only been made possible by the faith of the Son of God. Now get the picture. Here's Jesus in torment, but his total trust and faith is in the hands of his Father. Totally. And because of that, what he went through released the life of God for us to be able to live. And as Paul said, I'm living by, in, through, because of, and as a result of the faith of the Son of God. If Jesus hadn't exercised that trust and faith, would he have gone ahead? Wow. I would hate to think about it. I don't think. If Jesus had had no faith in the Father, his word, or his plans that the Father would raise him up, there would have been no Calvary. Whew. That should be enough to rock your socks to the core. That was the faith of the Son of God. That was the fact that he put himself in the hands of his Father. What he had to go through and what he had to see in that crucifixion was different from anything he'd ever faced or experienced before. Even on the cross when it went dark, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," he called out in Hebrew, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because the Lord, the Father, turned and could not look upon his Son. When God turns his back on this planet, the sun's not bright enough to keep it from darkness. Darkness fell on the earth from the sixth to the ninth hour, it says. So that's an amazing scenario, because Jesus, as he went to that cross, not only did he die for the sins of the whole world, but he took the sin of the whole world upon himself. And he was the punished vessel for the sins of humanity. You think about that. He had never even known sin. Sin was foreign to him. All of a sudden, he's got the whole load of the sins of humanity on him. That was the only experience of sin he'd known. The passions, the temptations, the desires, the filth, the lust, everything that humanity could be involved in a sinful manner was thrown upon Jesus, and the Father couldn't even look at his own Son. Cop that. That's just, and at that moment, Jesus felt and sensed the Father's turning away from him. He's, why have you forsaken me? And yet his faith and his trust had been put into his Father holding him up through this whole thing. He'd never known separation from the Father. He'd never known a time without his Father by his side, whether it was pre his being born as a babe or whether it was during the life. He still maintained relationship constantly with his Father. When he was 12, he disappeared down from his mum and dad's sight in the temple, disputing with the Jews over the scriptures. And then he says, when they found him, "Hey, oh, son, you've really given us some torment." He says, "I'm about my Father's business." He was all about his Father. What a way. He knew his Father intimately and passionately. That's that same Father we serve. That intimacy and that passion and that knowing is available to us. God's heart is to reveal himself to us and through us. We've got to get to know him the way Paul knew him. Wow. That sin was just terrible. Then he had to die on that cross. And from that cross, he actually entered into the depths of hell. And the Bible tells us he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Told him of himself, I would guess. "Hey, you know all the prophecies that was said? Here I am." And it says he led captivity captive. He took them from one place of horror captivity into the captivity of the kingdom of God. Wow. His heart was for humanity from Adam onwards. It wasn't just for the ones that he died for on the cross and the future ones like you and I that would be there. He took the sin from Adam onwards. That's a horrendous thought to think about how much he suffered and carried. But then he went and fulfilled a role that he had to fulfill down in the depths of hell. Then he rose from that dead. And he still had one more job to do and go and present his blood to the Father in heaven, which I've talked about. He fulfilled the whole thing completely and fully. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, because of the joy that was set before him, he knew I was coming in. He knew you were coming in. He knew we were going to be there as part of his bride and his church, who for the joy that was set before him, looked ahead, saw us, and he endured the cross. Wow, were we worth it? We sometimes think we're not. Oh, I'm not good enough. I tell you what, I'm a child of God. I'm worth it. I watched another video from America's Got Talent during the week. And this guy gets up and he sings, I'm a child of God. Whoa. Had them completely spellbound, had them captivated. And he sung that song with such passion and fervor. And saved from my sin, delivered from, and just because I'm a child of God. The song was just so heart moving and so intense. It had everybody completely spellbound. He had people in the audience crying as they scanned the crowd. Wow, what an amazing testimony. Someone brave enough to get up and talk about their experience in God. So good. He fulfilled everything the Father intended of him with the Father's strength and help. Resurrected from the grave, brought back totally in a new form of life, completely restored, complete and made whole, 100%. Why? Faith and trust in the Father's word. Faith and trust in knowing the Father. Faith and trust in knowing the Father was going to keep his word and keep his promises. His prayer of faith was a commitment to his Father, putting his life, his future, by faith and trust in his hands. And the faith of the Son of God in action is expressed what Paul says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see the difference why that scripture is misconstrued when people say, I live by faith in the Son of God. Well, your faith in the Son of God gets you to a certain point in your Christian walk. But being who you are fully in Christ is by what Jesus put his faith and trust into in that cross experience. And I live by, because of, and as a result of the faith of the Son of God. Wow. Wow. Doesn't that throw a whole new understanding on it? Doesn't that bring it? Oh man, that should bring a lump in your throat and tears to your eyes and absolutely getting yourself into a situation. And Jesus could only have had that level of faith in his Father because he knew him. Because he had developed a trust relationship, because he was in that position of knowing that the Father couldn't go back on his word. And there's so many prophecies and so many things in the Old Testament where I've given you that thing in where who Jesus was. I printed that out just a couple of weeks back in Genesis, in Exodus, Jesus and who he was right through the scriptures. Imagine him on the road to Emmaus and he talked to the disciples and beginning at the beginning of the Bible, he explained who he was. Then he gets down into hell and he preaches to the spirits in prison. In Genesis, when you guys were, I was, I am, telling of who they were speaking of and prophesying of. He says, here I am. Here I am. And I'm here because I paid the price for your sin. Wow. Man, I'm blown away by God's passion and love for humanity in this whole situation. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, completely surrendered himself to the will of the Father in full faith and trust that the Father would fulfill everything Jesus was purposed and planned to do and not leave him or forsake him in any way, shape, or form. Wow. Oh, that is such intense trust, such intense faith. That's the type of trust and faith God expects of us to have in him. Unquestioning, completely believing everything that he has said he will do. Wow. And people say to me, oh, maybe God will, maybe God won't. That really tells me they don't know God. Because it's hard to trust someone you don't know. And if people start saying to things about, oh, I don't know whether I can believe that or whatever, just saying, you don't know the God of that Bible that I know. You don't know him the way I know him. If he says he's doing it, I know he's doing it. If he says he will, he will. If he says it's impossible, well, then it has to be impossible. But he's never said that about things in my life that I need of him. He has never, ever put anything beyond the realms of possibility that he's made available to us. Isn't that awesome? I think that's incredible. Huh. The thing is, if people don't know God and they start to listen to the lies of the world or the lies of the devil, which are being perpetrated through all sorts of areas, media and other areas of the world where things are being quoted and said, lies then become more real than the God of truth, and because of the truth of God as well. The lies in some people's lives, you know, there's just lies being thrown around today that are absolutely horrendous. I'll give you one. Global warming, climate change. What? You don't believe that? My Bible tells me this. He upholds all things by the word of his power. He made this world. He made it to last. He made it to live until we no longer need it any longer. So you tell me who's right, them or God? You pick God? 10 out of 10. You pick the other side, fail. It's a control lie. There's so many of them like that. And unfortunately, the education system is conditioning the minds of children with evolution. What a lie that is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Oh no, there was a great big bang. Oh, come on. It's the most fictitious lot of nonsense you ever could have heard of. If it's not in the Word of God, then it isn't. It's not. But the world is being taught that. Churches are swallowing it left, right, and center. A social gospel has taken over from the gospel of Jesus Christ in many places. That's sad. And the truth has now become a fiction to them, and the lie has become their reality. How sad is that? And people in the world, oh, it's not on Google, it can't be right. Give me a break. Google has to be programmed by somebody, and they can program it any way they want to. Wow. If I couldn't trust God, how could I live by faith? You just couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. I remember when my mum died, I got up in a church and I said, I went in to see my mum on Tuesday, I think it was. And I said, I saw her in the position she was in, deteriorated, weak, Alzheimer's. And I just said, God, it's not right. A child of yours should live in this condition. I release her to take her home and thank you in the name of Jesus. And I walked out of the room. And it was Thursday morning in the early hours, which was probably 36 hours after I'd been there. They'd rung my older sister and she rang me and she said, oh, mum's died. I said, that's fine, I knew that. You know? Because it was there and then. So I got up in the church and I told him, I said, God is so good. I didn't want my mum suffering any longer, and I released her and God took her home. She's now totally set free from the conditions of her physical body and in the presence of God. It's so amazing. And people came up to me afterwards and said, oh, gee, I wish I had the faith you have. I said, we've all been given the measure of faith. Oh, you exercise mine. What do you do with yours? Wow. Bit of a smack in the eye for them, I guess, in some ways, but it's the reality of who you know. Do you trust the one you know, or don't you know him enough to trust him? We need to get ourselves and our senses exercised to be like that with God. Will God do it? Would God do it? Is he in a good mood today? Can I trust him today? Everybody's got God in some form of framework except what his own framework is, and that's the Word of God. The lie becomes more real than the truth. Wow. You know, God was, he's removed all uncertainty from everything that he is and does and will do. And yet the lies of the devil are there to develop an uncertainty using religion, media, education, government, whatever capacity he can do it in, he'll do it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's all your heart, just in case you missed it. That's all. Not just a little bit of it. That's all of it. And do not rely or lean on your own understanding. Don't be wise in your own eyes, the Bible tells us. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Paul was amazing with this. The life I now live in the flesh, I live because of the faith of the Son of God. Wow. What life am I living now that's because of the faith of God? Well, this isn't up on those notes, but let me tell you this. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things are become new. I've been reconciled back to the Father. I've been born again. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm walking in the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. I've been made righteous, holy, forgiven, blameless, unreprovable in His sight, unblemished, restored, above reproach, seated in heavenly places, made victorious, delivered, healed, and set free by the faith of the Son of God through the cross of Calvary. Wow, and that's just the tip of the iceberg of who Christ has made me to be and the life I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We've got to take into account that we are breathing the very air God put on this planet and he gives us the breath to breathe. I live by the faith of the Son of God. You and I cannot be who we are in Christ without the faith of the Son of God having been outworked back in that working of Calvary where God's life was released for us to become related to him. Seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above principality, power, dominion and might and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world which is to come. And all things that God made are under my feet. Because I've got dominion that he gave to Adam who lost it, but it was restored through Jesus. Wow. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Can I get your hand those out for me, please? There's some notes here or a sheet with a heap of scriptures that cover some of the things I've quoted today about being made holy, being made righteous, being made acceptable in Christ, being made who we've been made to be in him. They are something for you just to peruse through in your Bible. Have a look at, get to know those scriptures, because without knowing what God has said about you, you don't know who you are and you don't know what life you are living by the faith of the Son of God. If you can get a hold of a few of those, I think there'll be a whole revelation to you and give you a bit of an inspiration to get to know the God who passionately gave himself for you so that you could live by, because of, and as a result of the faith of the Son of God. Amen? That is what I had to say today. And I sat there earlier and I thought, this is going to be a bit long for today. Maybe I should put it off for next week. And then Darren got up and completely made me go, it was knowing God. It was knowing him. And I'm like, how many times does God use songs and the communion leader? And we don't collude it all. We don't plan it. It's not there. It's the way God is expressing himself and wanting to present himself and show us his love for us. Oh, and just like I live by faith in my grandpa, when I put my hands up, he'll pick me up. That's the way we've got to be with our Father. Just the way, trusting and open and honest with him. Amen? Amen. If Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for revealing yourself to us the way you do. Sorry if we've messed up and haven't taken a lot of notice and haven't recognized you. But God, our determination and resolve is to recognize you, to know you, to be who you want us to be, and live our life by the faith of the Son of God as you've determined for us to be in Christ Jesus. We praise you for it. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord.